Light from the Helm, the preaching ministry of Pastor Scheibach from the pulpit of the Lighthouse Baptist Church.
All right, let's stand together, please. Find Hosea chapter 8 and verse 4. God lamented concerning Judah, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. You know already the many verses that testify to the truth that God Almighty sets up kings and puts down kings, sets up rulers and puts down rulers according to His sovereign pleasure. Yet this verse testifies that He gives to us the responsibility to set up those who would rule over us. We have been given that privilege, but really we should look at it more like a very serious stewardship responsibility. We have a part in this business where God appoints rulers. We had better take our part very seriously, and we had better discharge our stewardship very, very wisely. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much and ask you now in Jesus' name to help me deliver the message that you have pressed upon my heart for tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The situation is serious. Friends, we are one Supreme Court justice and one presidential election away from losing our liberties and slipping into a path that will certainly lead us to tyranny. In some ways, stopping Obama from appointing another liberal to the court is as important, if not more important, than getting Obama out of the White House. Let me comment on that for a moment and say, we need more than a Obama white, and we need more than an Obama who wears a skirt. We need more than an ethnic or gender change in the White House. We need a man of God in the White House. So what do we do? Well, I'm going to lay out what Christians need to do in order to discharge our stewardship responsibility honorably and according to the pleasure of God Almighty, who is the one, after all, at the end of the day, who will decide. And He will decide based on how we, His people, the children of light, discharge our stewardship responsibility. For it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. He's not looking to the world to straighten all of this out. And we can't get it straightened out according to the way of the world. So remember some of the basics we've already covered. We have been given an important stewardship responsibility, and we are at a place where we need to get it right. We have got to get this right. Hosea 8:4, we read earlier, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. God was poised to cut off that one nation under God back then, named Judah, because they had set up kings, not by the God of heaven, but by the God of mammon. Read the verse. Pay attention to what it's saying. They set up kings, not by me. They set up kings according to their idols, their silver and their gold. They voted their pocketbook. We've been given the privilege and responsibility to set up our rulers, but we are to do this by Him. What does that mean? Well, that would mean, of course, according to His will. We're to set up rulers that He would approve of. For Judah, they had been given some very specific instruction about who would rule over them in Deuteronomy 17. They were to follow those guidelines. Those things that happened to them and were written down for us, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We should follow those guidelines. And there are some basic principles in Deuteronomy 17 that should guide us in the way we discharge our responsibility in our part in this business of setting up kings. But that actually is another message for next Sunday night. Tonight I want you to consider the fact that you have the responsibility to set up kings according to His will. Because most of us have enough sense already to know. When you look at the field at play right now, which one of those men most conforms to the way of God? And which ones obviously don't? And God has been good to us to make it real clear. It's obvious now. Profane, vile, foul-mouthed individual? What? How could any Christian think that's where my vote should go? That's just my opinion. I don't know what yours is. You can tell me about it afterwards when we sit down over here. You can sit down by me and tell me, well, here's my opinion, buddy. And that'll be okay. I like that, as a matter of fact. I enjoy that opportunity to have that conversation with you. But here's something that's for sure, my friend. We need to do this one by Him. We've been setting up kings according to our idols, our silver and our gold, our money. We're concerned more for the interests of the God of Mammon than we are the interests of the God of heaven. You cannot serve God and Mammon. America must make a choice in this election. Who is God after all? The children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. In Luke 16, verse 8, Jesus said, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. And he said, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. The children of this world. Now remember, ye are not of this world. If you are a believer and the Spirit of God is in your heart, ye are not of the world. John 15, 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Well, here's a news flash from heaven. Guess what? The world is never going to love a Christian. The world is never going to vote for a genuine, authentic, God-fearing Christian. The world hates us. It will always hate us. And what's been happening among most Christians is this nonsense of looking at candidates and saying, oh, well, the world won't like him. I can't vote for him because the world won't like him. Well, guess what? The world will never like the man we should vote for. And you need to understand that he doesn't get there because the world likes him. According to the Bible, if you're stewarding your responsibility for voting, if you're stewarding that responsibility by faith, then you're not looking at the world trying to figure out who the world wants. You're looking at the Word and trying to figure out who God wants. You're a little quiet out there. We are the children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Jesus is saying that the children of disobedience under the control of the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, verse 2, are wiser in the way they operate within their kingdom of darkness than the children of light are in the way they operate within the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of light. And it's certainly true. God's people consistently get trapped in sight. They look at the candidates and weigh them based on who can get elected. First of all, what made you so smart? How do you know? Isn't there a verse somewhere that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. He'll direct your path to the voting booth too. If you trust Him. If you're looking to Him by faith. Meaning you've looked at the situation from the perspective of the Word of God and not from the perspective of the world of men. Sadly, however, many of God's own children of light are unwise when it comes to how their kingdom operates. We need to engage in this fight with the wisdom of God's light, His Word. If we use the methods of darkness, we're going to lose. We must use the methods of the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of this world. And the children of the world operate by sight, It's all about what they see. They operate from the vantage point of the vanity of their imagination. They've got nothing else to operate from. We have the Word of God. We should be using it. And we should be voting guided by the Word and not voting guided by the world. So what does it mean in a practical way? Well, the first thing we need to do is pray. And don't dare think, well, I guess prayer is a nice thing to do, and we should probably all pray. Understand that prayer is not only the first thing we must do, it's the most important thing that we do. It sets up everything else. Obviously, we must pray in faith, however. Not just say our prayers, but engage with God in meaningful praying. In Matthew 21, 22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. But we don't believe that. Now when it comes to politics, most Christians leave their Christianity on the pew they sat in on Sunday morning. And they go out in the world and they operate entirely differently than the way they've learned they should live in the Lord's house. Most believers think they're smarter than God, and they think it's up to them. And in a strange way, they're right, partly. It's all up to God. But God is watching you. And if He sees you without faith, lost in the quagmire of the political games playing that goes on and all the junk that goes on, you get all lost in that. And then slip into that mode and start thinking in their game and start playing their game and start operating their way, and you think you're going to outsmart the devil. You're not going to outsmart the devil. He'll beat you in his game every single time. I mean, think about it. Every single time that we have given our vote to somebody because we thought they could win, not because we believed that they were the candidate God would have us, but because we thought they could win. Every time we've done that, we've gotten somebody the world likes. And where have they brought us? We must pray in faith, and that is prayer that's buried in the Word of God, not wishful thinking in the world of men. Or in other words, you don't look at the world and frame a wish about the way things ought to be. You look at the Word and you frame a solid foundation of faith and conviction that this is what God wants. This is the way God wants it. The world may or may not come along. We don't expect them really to, with any enthusiasm at all, accept anybody who is of faith. If they finally have to accept somebody based on faith because God just put it in front of them, they're going to go in kicking and screaming and fussing and fighting and frothing at the mouth. So be it. God is big enough to put His man in the position of rule if His people are operating wisely within the kingdom. Psalm 44, if you please open your Bible to Psalm 44, I want to read a prayer that we should be praying. And in some ways it will surprise you. I think from the tenor of the message as we've developed it so far. But if you think a little more deeply, I believe you'll appreciate why this prayer is so appropriate. Let's begin. I'll read it and you follow along in your Bible. Psalm number 44. The psalmist is praying about his nation. And he prays like this. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work Thou didst in their days in the times of old. How Thou didst drive out the heathen with Thy hand, and plantest them. How Thou didst afflict the people, and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But Thy right hand and Thine arm and the light of Thy countenance, because Thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art my King, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through Thee will we push down our enemies. Through Thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Selah. But now listen to this transition in the prayer, and come with me there. But thou hast cast off, and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this is come upon us. Yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart has not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And now this, as he concludes, listen to the boldness in his faith. Awake! Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise! Cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. We need this kind of praying right now. If someone says, oh, this is not for us, this is for them. Remember, 1 Corinthians 10:11 and Romans 15:4 tells us these things happened to them and were written down for us, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And if you want a little more proof that this psalm has direct application to us in the New Testament, consider this. Look at verses 21 and 22 in the psalm we just read. Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sakes are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Did not the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, quote that very verse and apply it to himself and to us in this generation when he said, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Wow. Paul grabbed that psalm and pulled it into the New Testament, didn't he? It does apply to us. And so we pray with this psalmist, awake! Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise! Cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Is there anyone here who can pray like that? We need someone who will go before the throne of God with that kind of holy boldness. Not arrogant, pushy, brazen, kind of almost blasphemous attitude, but no, humble, crying, weeping before God. God, wake up. See what's going on and help us. He won't get offended. He won't respond to that by saying, what do you mean? I'm awake. You're the one that's asleep. That's not the way God is. I think God's going to respond to that by saying, finally, somebody who gets it. You need me. And when we finally get that, we'll get him. So we must pray. Next, we must properly steward our vote. We have a choice to make. Hosea 8 verse 4, we've gone over it. We don't need to be choosing a president based on our concerns with the God of Mammon. We need to be choosing our president with concern for the God of heaven. Will you vote for the candidate that serves your idols of silver and gold? Or will you vote for the candidate that you think can win? Even if it means compromising your convictions? Your sight tells you this is not a good man, but you know, what else can I do? That's all I've got available to me. I don't know about you and your house, but as for me and my house, our vote belongs to God. It doesn't belong to the world. It doesn't belong to the GOP. It certainly doesn't belong to the DNC. It doesn't belong to the Independent Party or the Reform Party or to anybody else. It belongs to God. My vote belongs to God. And I will cast it as I'm guided to cast it by Him, as I'm instructed by the Word of God. I'll not look at the world and say, how does the world want me to vote? I'll look at the Word and I'll say, how does the Word want me to vote? I'm done with this worldly way of going about all of this. It's time to get serious, Christians. Faith. We must support the candidate that we believe from our heart, and by comparing the facts we can see to what the Word says. Believing not every spirit, but trying the spirits to see if they be of God. And how do you try the various spirits that are operating out there trying to get you to vote their way or this way or one way or the other? You do it by the Word of God. You try those spirits by the Word of God. At Lighthouse Baptist Church, some time back, some few years ago, or maybe as many as 5 or 6 or 7, or it's been a while, when I came to this pulpit and challenged the church to begin praying, and we prayed with all our heart that God would raise up a candidate we could vote for. Many of you remember that. And basically the proposition was, Lord, at least just give us somebody we can give our vote to with confidence and not feel like we're compromising and feel dirty when we walk out of the voting booth. Somebody we can vote for that's a God-fearing man, and obviously so. A Bible-believing man, and obviously so. A man of prayer and of faith who believes the truth about our founding and has a vision for our future that takes us back into the old paths, which is where we need to be. According to Jeremiah 6:16, that's the answer for our generation. The old paths. Not some vile, foul-mouthed, greedy, ego-driven fellow who, like Nebuchadnezzar, boasts of his accomplishments and his abilities. He's not regarding God or man who would say something that is borderline blasphemous, like, you know, I don't know if I've ever even asked God for forgiveness. What kind of nonsense is that? And what Christian has ever said such a thing? Let me just go ahead and just come right out and say it. Tired of mincing words and dancing around it. Let's just say it. And for a moment, let me speak to those who strain at gnats and swallow camels. I'm going to do an entire show on this TPA and TPP and every other permutation it's gone through. I've looked at it closely, and quite frankly, most of those making a lot of noise about it don't really understand it, but it is bad. The problem with the conspiratorial theorists, however, is that they have a great capacity for making mountains of molehills. Look, I've been in this for a long time. I've been in the trenches with this sort of thing for some years now. I'm not a novice in this business of grappling with the conspiracy theories that are out there, and I know the merit of those that have merit, and I know the nonsense of those that are built on nonsense. I've been through it more than one time, and the problem with conspiracy theorists is that they have a great capacity for making mountains out of molehills. Just one case in point, you've got one candidate who was going along with this thing called TPA and TPP. And TAA. I'll explain all that this coming weekend in my radio show, where I go into it and I break it open for you, and I let you look at the nuts and the bolts and where the levers are and how this machine actually operates and what it's really all about. And we have a candidate who was supporting that for a while, who came to a point in his analysis of this whole thing where he said, well, here's what they're doing with it. I don't like that, and he pulled away his support from it. And he's gone on record saying, I don't support that because of this. He's a free trade kind of a guy. Most conservatives are free trade oriented. And he got caught up in the idea of opening up trade and encouraging economic growth, and he got caught up in that, and he was going along with TPP, TPA, TAA. He has since, however, seen some things behind all that that he doesn't like. And so he's pulled away from it and will not vote for it. Oh, but he used to vote for it. Oh, but he used to like it. Oh, but one day he, you know, give me a break. Then you get the candidate that they want. Because this guy, he got a gnat in his mouth and he almost swallowed it. And I'll show you what a gnat it is this coming weekend. I understand the implications and the problems with it, but I also understand what some have done with the pump to pump it up and to make it into more than what it is. And I'll show that to you later. But then you got another guy, a sweaty, smelly, flea-infested camel. I mean, the guy's a camel. And they're going, whoop, while they strain at this little gnat over here. It's unbelievable. But that's the kind of nonsense that's going on. God help us. You've got to steward your vote by faith and not by sight. From what the Word says, not from what the world says. Don't think you're going to be a real wise guy and I know the way of the world and I understand how that works. That's fine. We've got plenty of those politicians, believe me. We're up to here with those guys. And they brought us to where we are. What we need is to stop, shake our head, get back into the Bible, into the Word of God, and see what it says. And let it clear out our head and focus our eyes so we can see God's answer to our prayer for a man of faith, a man of conviction. But we want perfection. This is amazing to me. We demand perfection from this guy. But we'll accept unbelievable junk from this guy. Because you're not perfect, I'm going to go with this guy. And this guy is an absolute train wreck of imperfections. You understand what I'm saying? You're not going to get a perfect candidate as long as God is still using men. But we can sure look past some of those imperfections and see that there's a heart there of faith and belief in God, a genuine, authentic Christian testimony, and a life that backs it up. Now, the next thing you've got to do after you've prayed, got into the Word, chosen a candidate based on the Word, not the world, is you need to actively speak the truth to the lies that you encounter from day to day. You've got to open up your mouth and speak truth to the lies. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and you have a responsibility to speak up, to let your voice be heard. You don't need to preach it like I am from the pulpit in the living room of your neighbor's house. That would be a little bit strange. If sitting in their living room, you got up and said, "I can't believe it. Here's a guy over here with some imperfections," and you'll say, "He's not perfect, I'm not voting for him, so I'm going to vote for this guy over here who's full, he's a train wreck of," you know, in their living room. But you need to speak the truth to the lies that are blinding men's minds in darkness. You need to get educated about these things. You need to get educated about TPP, TPA, TAA. You need to get educated about it. And it's not enough just to hear somebody say something, but get into it and read the documents. I read the stupid laws. I know. It make your eyes roll back in your head. But I actually read these laws. Most of the guys who have so much to say about them haven't even actually read them. It's a good idea to actually read these laws and see what they actually say. You'll be surprised how many times you're being told they say something they don't say. People get angry with me sometimes. They send me something and they want me to jump on it and get on my radio show and just go, "Rawr, rawr." But I have this nasty little habit of running things down. So by the time I've gone through the law itself, done the research and run this or that thing down to the ground, after I've spent maybe sometimes as many as 5 or 6 hours doing that, I'm not complaining. It's the job. I get done, I go, wow. It's amazing to me. There are some serious, satanic-inspired, conspiratorial things going on. And some of the biggest mouths out there miss it. And they're jumping all over things that aren't the things they should be jumping on. And that's too bad. Satan is up to no good, and he has his minions lined up and organized, marching forward with an agenda to bring this world under one world government. Yes, that's for sure. It's not true that every... Look, I have a whole message on that. It's titled The Problem with Conspiracies. I'll be preaching it in the next 5 or 6 years. Not probably in a few weeks, actually, because it does play into this. There are conspiracies afoot. Satan in the kingdom of darkness is working in the background, manipulating events, trying to put his man in place. No question about it. But don't run half-cock after every little spirit that comes out there throwing out some kind of an accusation about this one or the other one. I went through this with Reagan. They came back to me with all this junk about some guy. I had a picture of him with somebody, and I went on and on and on and on. By the time I got done with it, Reagan was walking to his car, and somebody walked up to him. Some smart guy got a picture of that, made a big deal out of it. If you saw the rest of the clip, you would see Secret Service people all over that guy pulling him away. But you leave that part out, because that doesn't work to the conspiracy. Listen. There are some liars and charlatans out there promoting conspiracies that aren't. You need to understand that. That does go on. The biggest problem we have right now is that they're so believable. We have such corruption in the White House generally and in the Capitol Hill generally that just about any kind of crazy conspiracy thing that's thrown out there is like so believable, we go, yeah, no doubt about it. And we are so inclined to accept them before we test them. But I'm challenging you to test them, and I'm actually preaching some of that sermon. And let me come back and preach this one. What do you think? You need to speak the truth to the lies that are out there, and you need to know the truth in order to do that. Please don't just believe everything that's thrown out there. Check it out. I think you should support the Brain Massage Show. I think it's a good show, and I think it does a good job in this area. It does the work of research and examines these things very carefully. And I think it does a good job of putting the truth out there to do battle with the lies that are floating around. You should take audio copies of some of these shows and distribute them to your friends and then follow up and ask them, what did you think about that? And they say, oh, I haven't listened to it yet. Well, please do. In other words, you got to get aggressive about this. You got to get on it here. As long as we're lackadaisical and just kind of floating along and complaining and fuming and fussing at the TV when we see these talking heads say things that make our head explode, and we're not turning around and doing something productive and effective, taking the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and engaging the lies in our community and in our circle of influence, we're failing on our job. We have a stewardship responsibility. We are in a spiritual warfare. You've got to arm up, according to Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20, and go forward with the sword of the Spirit, engaging the enemy. And you can only do that if you're informed. So you need to be informed. And you need to speak to your friends about these things lovingly. Take audio copies of the show. Take transcripts of the show. I don't know, whatever. Do some study. Do some research. Frame your own arguments according to truth. And get out there with some Bible under that and put the truth out there. Get involved supporting the candidate you believe is the one that God has sent to us in answer to our prayers. If there's a God-fearing patriot who stands by the Constitution, who champions religious liberty and supports our Bill of Rights and understands that these are based upon and grow out of the Bible, if you've got someone like that to support, good heavens, support him. Get behind him. It has narrowed down to just a pretty narrow choice here, and the choice is so obvious in front of us right now. Not for some candidate who has been part of corruption politics for probably the last 40 years of his life. Unbelievable to me that anybody, whoever you choose on the other side of him, that anybody would choose that yahoo. Brother Shadbach, you sure are speaking plainly. Well, I've not been known to do otherwise. Brother Shadbach, that's just your opinion. Yes, it is. It is my opinion. If you've got an argument to dissuade me from my opinion, I'll listen to your argument. If I've said something you disagree with, I'll be very happy to hear what you have to say in a friendly way. You don't even have to hit me or anything. We can just have a friendly conversation. But let's have the conversation. You need to be having the conversation. Finally, you must engage fervently and consistently and persistently. Look, you can't get all stirred up for a day or two and then fizzle out and back to business as usual. We're in a war, for heaven's sake. And you've got to rise up and get engaged and stay at it. You've got to get fervent about this in your praying. You've got to get fervent and enthusiastic with regard to the candidate you choose to support. You need to support your candidate financially. You need to support your candidate with prayer and everything else and encouraging words and everything you can do to hold up the man of God. You should do it. We are in a war. The consequences of losing this war are very, very serious. We cannot win this war if we fight it in the way of the world. I'm telling you that right now. We cannot win this war fighting it in the way of the world. We can't do it as we've done it up till now. We need a new game plan. It's time to get back in the book and start operating as ambassadors of Christ's kingdom and step forward as men and women of God, not ashamed or not afraid to speak the truth to the lie. And you need to choose your candidate according to the word. In other words, here's what, just to get real practical with you and just get real down to cases. Let's suppose it did happen that the only fellow to vote for was the lesser devil. He's not getting my vote. I'm done voting for the lesser devil. You might go ahead, that's your business, but I have decided, I have learned something as I've studied the Word of God on this thing and much prayer and much examination of Scripture. It's not about me choosing this guy or that guy. It's about me executing my stewardship responsibility in the gaze and the eyes of God and doing what my conscience tells me I've done is right. My vote doesn't belong to the lesser of two evils. My vote belongs to the best man for the job, period. That's who gets it. Now you, some of you look at me like, oh, that's scary. I know, faith is scary. Because it's not sight. Sight's more comfortable. You look at sight and you figure it out and you feel comfortable walking by sight, but we're not going to win this battle walking by sight. We must walk by faith. And faith is guided by the light of the Word, not by the light of my puny little reason, but by the light of the Word. I'm not speaking for you. I'm speaking for myself, but I'm telling you this right now. My vote belongs to God. It will go the way I believe He has directed it to go. And I'm not afraid of what might happen to America. I'm more afraid of God's people not setting up a king by him. That was the great danger in Judah. They set up kings, but not by him. Well, some of you got something to think about. You might, with a full and hearty amen, have embraced all that I've said, and you might think, yeah, you know, it's about what does God think about my vote? It's about what does God think about all this? Do you understand the paradigm shift that I'm calling for? It's huge. I get it. I know that it's huge. I know it's major. It's a major change in the way we've been approaching this whole thing for years and years and years. We've been walking around like silly moles sticking their head up in the sun and doing this and kind of going along with this rationalistic nonsense, this pragmatism. And we've not been operating by faith in the Word of God, trusting God. We've been trusting men. That's what I see. And I think it's time now to quit trusting men and start trusting God. So who are you going to give your vote to tonight? Does it belong to God or does it belong to the GOP? Does it belong to God or does it belong to the DNC? Does it belong to God or does it belong to the Independent Party, the Reform Party, or the who knows what else party? Do you think Bolshevik Bernie is the way to go? Probably not. But there are Bolsheviks of other names, if you're paying attention. The effort afoot today, I believe, is to put a socialist on both tickets and to give us a choice between two socialists. I believe that's what's going on. And I think we need to put the brakes on that, and it starts with prayer. Let's do some of that right now. Let's stand together. You may or may not agree with everything that I've said tonight. I think you should. Obviously, I wouldn't be saying it. I don't say stuff I don't feel passionately about and believe in thoroughly. I think a lot about these things before I open my big fat mouth and start spitting this stuff out there. That doesn't mean I don't have respect for some of your feelings and disagreements with some of the things that I've said. But I challenge you, before God, are you approaching this stewardship responsibility over your vote from a perspective of the Word of God and moving forward by faith? Or are you stewarding your responsibility, cutting God out of the picture? If you realize that that's possibly what you've done, you need to repent of that. For God complained against Judah, they have set up kings, but not by me. While the piano's playing and the invitation is open now, just respond to the Lord. However the Spirit leads you to pray, just pray. And ask God, seek God's face tonight as God's children. And pray. And in fact, you might want to just open up your Bible to Psalm 44 and pray that psalm right now. Wouldn't be a bad idea. Just open up Psalm 44 and kneel down before God and pray that psalm to God.
Light from the Helm by Pastor Scheidbach, shining the light of God's truth to help you navigate through the fog of moral relativism and avoid the shoals of the lies of Christian liberalism, is brought to you by Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. To contact Lighthouse Baptist Church or Pastor Scheidbach, call 805-347-9887 or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org. This message may be reproduced for distribution or rebroadcast freely. Providing proper attribution is given to Pastor Scheidbach, but not for profit. We appreciate being given notice when the messages are being distributed or rebroadcast, so please contact us at 805-347-9887 or email us through our website at www.santamarialighthouse.org or write to Pastor Scheidbach, care of Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bettoravia Road, Santa Maria, California, 93455.